All right, here we go. This is lesson number 4 in the Baptist Basics University course, Baptist History. In this lesson, we're going to deal with the question, was the early church Baptist? Were those guys Baptist? What were they? Do we know? Well, these questions have plagued Christianity for many, many years. There's a lot of debate as to what they believed and where they stood. For example, the Roman Catholics, they believed Peter would go on to become their pope and that he defended salvation through baptism. Now, both of those are completely false, but those are two things that are held about one of the early leaders in the church. Now, the earliest history of the church is very remarkable when you think about it. You think about it. A bunch of unschooled, untrained, at least in the ways of the world. Now, they were trained by Christ, but a bunch of unlearned, ignorant Jews turned the world upside down. They shook the mighty Roman Empire to its very core. Now, they weren't without controversy or disputes. There was disagreements, and especially a little bit later on in history, you know, later on in the first century and second century, there were disputes, and people argued about different positions and stuff. But I'll tell you honestly, I think a lot of that is simply due to the fact they didn't have a written copy of the Word of God, because it's just so hard to even have one, or to produce it, or even keep it away, because they were burning them. You know, it's very hard to keep something like that. But I'm going to try to go through here real quick. I'm going to look at a few things. I'm going to prove to you, in at least a few cases here. I don't want to go too in depth. I want to prove to you from what the apostles said and believed that they stood for Baptist principles. So let's look at a few of these here. The first one, they stood for salvation by grace through faith, number one. Now, without a doubt, the early church did not preach works salvation. They didn't preach water salvation. They did not preach you had to be baptized to be saved. The few verses that are taken out of context or misrepresented are very easily explained in context. But every one of these guys preached salvation by faith in Christ. Ephesians 2:8-9 is quite clear. Now, Peter, I will be honest with you, maybe I need to take a break. It's the fourth straight one of these I've recorded. I'm getting tongue-tied. Now, Peter, in Acts chapter 2, is represented by the Church of Christ and others as defending salvation through baptism. They hold that when he makes certain statements here, and I'm looking for them right now. Glancing through here, I don't have them marked. Oh, yes, verse 38. And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. They'll say, well, look, he said repent and be baptized to be saved. Well, okay. I don't believe that's what that says. I think he said repent to be saved, and you got to get baptized too. Okay, well, even still, let's balance this out. Let's turn over to the book of Acts and chapter 10, and let's look at verse 43. Peter, same guy, is going to say, to him give all the prophets witness. He's talking about Christ. That through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Believeth in him? Doesn't say he's baptized in his name? No, it says it believeth in him. Well, is he preaching two different things? No, he's preaching the very same thing in those cases. The stuff in the book of Acts is just maybe not worded as clear as it could be. In chapter 2, but you got to balance it out. Peter's not saying two different things. He's saying the same thing in Acts chapter 2 that he's saying in Acts chapter 10. You got to study it out. Philip preaches it, the early deacon in the church, in Acts chapter 8, verse 37. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He's talking about being baptized. He said, "What do I have to do to be baptized?" He said, "You got to believe." Well, yes, believing is prerequisite to being baptized, but that's the main thing. You've got to believe. And that's what Philip is telling him there. And by the way, that that particular verse is left out of many of your new Bibles. You look at some of these new translations, they don't reorder the verses. They will actually skip over verse 37. They'll put it in the footnotes or something else, but it'll actually, in the text, go from verse 36 to 38. they kind of hide it in the footnotes, and they claim that the best manuscripts don't hold that. Well, there's just very, very few manuscripts that don't have that. They put too much value in some bad manuscripts like the Vaticanus and the Sinaiticus and those. Anyway, that's all free. But as I say, right there, I just went through Paul, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of works, lest any man should boast." And I think I messed some of that up, but he talks about it. Paul preached it. Peter preached it. Philip preached it. It's clear that these guys taught salvation by grace through faith. They didn't teach water baptism to be saved. They didn't preach work salvation. They preached salvation by grace through faith. Second thing we look at, they stood for the authority of the Word of God. Even though much New Testament was still in the process of being written, great emphasis is put on the authority of God's Word. Look at, for instance, Acts chapter 17 and verse 2. Talking about Paul. And see, he is in Thessalonica at this time. And he is he's preaching, and he's actually with the Jews. And he says in Acts 17, 2, says, "And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures." He wasn't preaching something new. He was showing them out of the Bible, out of the Old Testament, that Jesus was the Son of God, that salvation was by grace through faith. And all that stuff is in the Old Testament, by the way. Paul, James, Peter, all these guys, you will see constantly, "And the Scripture saith," and "the Lord said," and You will see this time and time again, a little phrase like that. I don't have any references there for you, but you can study that out, that those guys are always going back and saying, "Well, the Bible said, the Bible said, the Bible said." So they stood for the authority of the Word of God. Third thing, they stood for the continuance of only two offices in the church. I say, despite some variants in titles, there's only two officers set forth or mentioned in the Bible. That's the pastor and the deacon. There aren't any other ones. That's very, very clear in the writings of Paul to Timothy and Titus. Now, as I said before, there is a third office recognized, but it is not perpetual. It does not keep going. That's the office of the apostle. And these men, where they went, they were installing leaders in the church. They were installing pastors and deacons in the churches. Now, also, I could go on. I'm not going to sit here and go back through everything I've said before in defending the Baptist principles, but that's just three. You can study it out where they touch on Baptist principles. They preach Baptist principles. I think you get the idea just after three. I don't really want to go through them all again, because a lot of the verses I use come straight from their writings to prove what I'm saying. So now I can hear you say right now, you don't agree with me, you say, "Well, because you're Baptist, you want them to be Baptist. You're making them look like Baptists. Your own convictions and your own presuppositions are influencing your thought. You're biased." Well, I am here. I'm going to give you four reasons why that is absolutely absurd. Number one, facts don't lie. You cannot twist the New Testament into saying that the early church did not hold Baptist views. Now, you can find some church leaders in the second, first, second, third centuries that did not hold Babs views, but you cannot out of the Bible show that those men taught other views. Now, you can find some distorted history books that will do that for you, but you can't do it. To disagree, you have to ignore very clear, very plain wording in the Bible and basically trust in fairy tales that other people have done. Study it out. The facts are that the early church was very, very, very much in line with Baptist principles and Baptist theology. Nowhere in the Bible does the teachings of the early church contradict what Baptists hold today. Second of all, most denominations formerly or even currently recognize that Baptist practices resembled the early church. This is something that they will not promote or tell you from the pulpit. But Baptist groups have gone through many names through the centuries, but I'm going to tell you two that are very interesting that have been applied to Baptist groups at different times. They've been called ancient or oriental. In fact, there's a group called the Ancient Oriental Baptist, by the way. These names weren't just thrown around. These were in recognition that these guys were doing it the way it used to be done. That's what ancient means. Oriental was tracing it back to that region. Hey, that's how they do it over there. These names implied that they were following pretty close the original pattern of the church. In fact, studies have been done, and some very honest theologians and historians from other denominations have admitted that Baptists were a lot closer in what they believed and what they believed to what the early church believed. You say, well, how can they believe what they believe? They take the stance that the church is constantly evolving and that it's getting better and progressing through the, you know, all these different, through the work of man, basically. I hold that it was purest at its source, just like a river is. But that's basically the philosophy they get behind it. But as they, some of those guys, Melanchthon, Luther's theologian buddy, it had some statements admitting it. You can find some of that stuff in some other books. I don't have them here in front of me, but you can study that out. That Lutheran guys have made statements that says, hey, these Baptists are pretty doggone close to what they used to believe. Study it out. You'll find some of that information. Third thing, many greater men than I have studied it and came to the same conclusion. Listen, I'm nobody. I'm Matthew B. Gage. I am, at the moment of this recording, 25 years old. I will be 26 in just a few months. Yeah, I have a 4-year Bible college degree. Yeah, I have a Master of Divinity from a Correspondence Bible College. Both of those are, honestly, probably not worth the paper they're written on. They're not accredited. I don't want to get too much into my educational experience, but I don't have years of experience. I don't have great degrees earned by prestigious institutions. I'm from a little bitty town in Texas of about 5,000 people. I attend a church that runs less than 200. I'm not on staff. I'm a nobody. Now, I'm trying to do something for God on the internet and hopefully preserve and promote and propagate, you know, the truth. But I'm being honest with you. I'm nobody. But you know what? There are some somebodies who've studied this and came to the conclusion. Let me tell you about two of them. Alexander Carson was one of them. He was an Irishman. Now, it's amazing to read his life, but he was confronted with Baptist principles and he accepted them, lost his church, was basically kicked out of his church and preached in the fields and in the fields and in barns until they finally got enough money to build another church, because he got kicked out of his church as a pastor, very influential. accepted the independence of the autonomy of the local church, and finally accepted believers' baptism also. Very controversial and decision for him, and cost him his pulpit and his church. Now, he didn't leave town. He started a good church, but cost him a good salary. But it's amazing, yeah, to read about him. In fact, his book on baptism is considered by many to be one of the best. But he's one man. He studied it. He came to the conclusion, Baptists are right. Another one, Adoniram Judson. Not only one of the great missionary pioneers, I think probably one of the greatest minds America has ever produced. If you read his life and his accomplishments, a brilliant man. Sailed towards India, was going to meet with William Carey. He was going to be a missionary, but he knew he was going to have to meet with the Baptist missionary William Carey, and he was going to be ready to defend himself on his views on baptism. Well, as he studied it out, he came to realize he was wrong, that the Baptists were right. And he embraced the Baptist views, which basically left him in a foreign country without support. And Luther Rice, on a ship sailing with him, did the exact same thing, goes back to America and raises support among the Baptists for Adoniram Judson. And we know the story, how he went to Burma, and how he, after many years of labor, was catalyst in a great revival there, how he was able to put actually had to create a written language and create a dictionary for the people, and then translate the Bible into that language. Just amazing, amazing work that he did. But those are two very brilliant, very scholarly men who studied it and came to the conclusion Baptists are right. The story is told, and I have seen this isn't just out of Baptist books. I've seen some secular confirmation of this, if you don't trust the Baptist history books. But the Dutch monarch William of Orange commissioned a study in the 17th century, and as they were determining, you know, they wanted to see who the best, there were some groups trying to jockey to get a state church in Holland, and he commissioned a study, and they were trying to find, you know, that the Presbyterian Protestant form, I can't remember exactly, was going to be the best, and he commissioned a bunch of scholars to study it out, and they came back, hey, Baptists are the closest in faith and practice to what the New Testament church did. And that was not the results he was expecting, but that's the results he got. And that's just history. So not only the facts not lie, not only do other denominations even admit the Baptist practices were close to the early church, not only have greater and smarter people than I studied it out and came to the conclusion that the Baptists were right, I will, as number fourth, tell you my honest goal is to be right. I would not be a Baptist if I didn't feel it was right. I would not be a Baptist if I felt they did not hold to the teachings of the Bible. I'm not too ashamed to admit that I'm wrong when I'm wrong. But I have never seen a convincing argument against what I believe. Now, there's some powerful speakers and some, you know, very greatly worded, and, you know, there's some power in their verbiage, but the substance of their arguments are weak. If there was a group that was closer to the New Testament standard than the Baptist, I would sign up with them as quick as I could. And I'm being honest with you. I'm not just a Baptist to be a Baptist. If the Baptists turn out to be wrong, I want to be right. I don't care who it is. I don't try to picture Baptists to look like me. I try to be right. And I don't try to picture the early church to be like me. I try to be like the early church. I want to use them as my example. So I hope those few statements there would kind of disavow any people who would look at me and say, "Oh, you're crazy, you're biased, you hadn't studied it." Listen, I've done quite a bit of study on it. I've read secular books on the matter. I've read Protestant books on the matter. I've read Baptist books on the matter. And to tell you the truth, I am thoroughly convinced that the early church was Baptist in their beliefs and in their practice. So, don't try to accuse me of anything otherwise. It is through conviction and through study. I'm not parroting stuff I've heard. I'm telling you what the facts are. So, anyway, that'll wrap up this lesson, lesson number 4. Now, beginning the next lesson, we're going to take a few lessons and kind of run through some church history and talk about Baptists through the ages, some of the different groups that held to Baptist beliefs, and I think that'll be a help to you. Boy, I wish I had a lot more time to go into most of this stuff, but anyway, we'll give a good brief overview and a good outline of things and some key topics to keep in mind as you study out a lot of this. So I hope that you'll listen in to the next lesson as we get started with early church, which will be about the first 5 or 6 centuries of church history that we'll be covering there. Until then, I appreciate you listening. Thanks a lot.